series of Refocus. We're going to be looking today at God and his power to restore. We see that in the scriptures as God uses his almighty power to restore creation, to restore those who are hurting, broken, whose bodies need healing. And we're going to see today also that God is still active with his healing power today, still accessible to prayers, still answering those prayers according to his gracious will. And so we as his people believe he is still a God who restores, who heals. And so we call on him in our prayers and sing his praises. A couple of announcements today before we get started. Next month, October, just coming up in a few days, is historically Church Worker Awareness or Appreciation Month. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." And so we certainly think of all the people that God has used in our lives, pastors and Sunday school teachers, Christian day school teachers, our parents, and all those who have shared God's word with us and brought us to this point in our faith, how God continues to use the church to reach out to a broken and lost world and restore those who don't yet know Jesus. And so we give thanks to the Lord for that ministry and for the workers he uses in that ministry during October. At the end of the month, we'll also have an opportunity to focus on how we continue to support those who are training for the ministry, as one of our professors from Concordia St. Louis will be here to encourage us for Reformation, but also remind us of that work we continue to do together as a church body of preparing pastors and teachers to build up the church. And so pray for that ministry as we continue to give thanks to God for pastors and teachers and all those who are church workers here at Trinity. Also, this Friday, for all those couples who have been really hunkering down during the pandemic, who maybe have had some struggles in their communication, Dave Sheldon, our Family Life Associate, is going to be leading a live marriage seminar talking about love languages and personality profiles and sharing some tools on healthy communication, not just for married couples, for families to really benefit from that as well. But you can tune in Friday live at trinityutica.com/live on Friday starting at 7 p.m. It'll go to about 7:45, so look forward to that if you'd like to get a few more tools for communication. So with that, let's begin with our worship as we join in singing our opening hymn, Earth and All Stars. So please put your mask backs on, and if you'd like to do so, please rise for that opening song. name of the Holy Spirit. In the name of our triune God.
Amen.
Let us now confess our sins to God, our merciful Father. Gracious God, we admit and confess our sinfulness. We know that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have daily done things we should not have done, and have not done that which we are to do as your faithful servants. We deserve your punishment in this life and for eternity. In your mercy, we come to you for forgiveness. Our trust is not in ourselves, but in the merits of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Restore us. Grant us remission of all our sins, and lead us to renewed lives that reflect your goodness and love. Amen. With calming words, with a peaceful spirit, with overflowing love and hope, our God forgives us and fills us with faith. Our God affirms us for who we are, those whose brokenness is made whole, whose sin is forgiven, whose lives overflow with the servant faith. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, by Christ and His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in singing, Give Thanks. Testament reading chosen for the Refocus series for this weekend as we look at Jesus' miracles and at God's power to heal. We hear first from the Old Testament lesson of Isaiah chapter 42, starting at verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you, And I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Roman Christians, chapter 15, starting at verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace of God given to me, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise if you're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. At this time, our youth minister, Andrew Brazil, will come forward and share the children's message.
Excited for you guys to be here at church today with me. Welcome. I'm so excited to see all you guys. Today, Pastor Justin is going to be talking about being restored by the miracles of Jesus. And that sounds real awesome, right? But we need to know what a miracle is. So what is a miracle? A miracle is something that God does that is otherwise impossible. Otherwise, it can't be done. Now, in the Bible, Jesus performs all sorts of miracles. I just realized I'm still wearing my mask. Jesus performs all sorts of miracles in the Bible, right? And he does all of these things to restore people's faith, to give them hope, and to show him that God, and to show the people that God loves them. So what are some examples of miracles that Jesus did in the Bible? Any age can answer. Any examples of miracles in the Bible? Water into wine, absolutely. So Jesus was showing his love for the people. He didn't want these wedding hosts to be embarrassed, so he showed love and he showed his power and authority to the people around him, saying, "I am God." And so he gave them faith and hope in that. What are some other miracles? Walking on water, absolutely. So his disciples were scared in this storm, right? And so he showed that I am still God. I am in control of everything, and I can even walk on water, which gave them faith and hope. What are some other miracles? One more. He rose Lazarus from the dead, absolutely. So he had a heart, he had a love for his friend and his friends who were mourning his friend, who were sad that he died. He had a love for them, so he raised them from the dead, again showing that he has authority over everything, right? Now that is so cool. Now those are good examples of miracles, because if it were me without God, I couldn't do those things. I can't raise people from the dead. I certainly can't walk on water. That can't be done unless it's from God. Now that's really cool, but that's really cool for people all the way back in the Bible, but what does that mean for us today? Well, God is still performing miracles all the time around us. Now, that can be a little bit hard to believe, right? Because sometimes it seems like we live in this real big world with all of these rules about the way that things should be. Like if I were to hold up a pencil and drop it, it would fall, right? That's the rules. That's the way that things have to work. That's what we think, right? Or if someone has been mean their entire life, they're not going to change. They have no hope. That's the rules. Or if some of us know someone who's been really sick for a while and they go to the doctor and they say, it doesn't look like they're going to get any better, we expect them to die, right? That's the rules when we start to look at how we think the world is going to work. But what did Jesus show us in the Bible with all of those miracles? He showed us that the world and its rules are not in charge of Jesus. Jesus is in charge of the world. So when we start to try to put a limit on Jesus and what he can do based on these rules that we think we have, we can remember Jesus is in charge of the world. Now, that's still a little bit hard to understand, right? So to give you an example, here's what I'm going to do. I have up here a piece of paper, which is super exciting, right? It's yellow. Nice. Now, if I were to tell you that I was going to walk through this piece of paper, would you believe me? That seems hard to believe, right? Pretty impossible. Especially if I tell you that I'm not going to remove any piece of this paper. I can't push it through my head. And even if I cut a hole right in the middle, that'd be awful small, right? Now, well, if I think of the things like I've always thought of them, and I think of the rules as they always should be, it certainly would be impossible to do this. But when I start to move things around and think of things outside the box, and the more that we learn about God, the more that we learn that he is a God who thinks outside the box and outside of the ways that we usually think of things, we will see what happens in 1 second. So now we're just making a few, moving some things around. I'm not removing any piece. I promise you, every piece of the paper is still here. But when I do things a little bit different, look at this. Look at this. Now I have this whole piece of paper, but I can go right through it. You didn't believe me, and now I'm going right through this piece of paper. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you in on a secret. This is not a miracle. This is just some fancy cutting. I tore my piece of paper. Don't worry, I got a backup. Ta-da. This is also not a miracle. This is preparedness. No, that was not a miracle, though. That was just some fancy cutting. But when I look at this, I can be reminded that when I try to put rules on God and what he can do, I can look at this piece of paper and think, just a second ago, I thought it was impossible to go through this paper. But when I move things around in unexpected ways, it's possible, right? Some ways that we try to limit God, right? Like if I think I can't see him and I don't feel him all the time, right? Then there's no way that I can talk to him. But God moves things around and pops through and goes, oh, yes, you can. And he gives us the power of prayer and his word so that we can always be talking to him. Sometimes we think things like bread and wine that we have in church can't possibly become anything else. But then God says, moves things around and pops through and goes, oh, yes, it can. And he becomes a part of that bread and wine, which gives us the body and blood of Jesus, which gives us forgiveness of sins. What an awesome miracle, right? Sometimes we try to limit God and think, man, I know that I've done some bad things in my life, and I know that God hates sin, so there's no possible way that he can love me, right? But then God moves things around and pops through and goes, oh, yes, I can. And I would move heaven and earth to show you. And not only does he say that, but he proves it too. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us because he loves us. Jesus died to forgive us our sins because he loves us. But 3 days later, he showed us that not even death and its rules have control over Jesus. 3 days later, as a miracle, he came back to life. And because of that miracle, we too can have hope and faith that we have eternal life with him. And that is the greatest miracle of all. Jesus is in control of this world. So, when you're feeling scared or worried or you just don't know what to do, we can remember Jesus is in control of this world. So we can go to him in prayer because he's ready to listen to us and he's ready to answer our prayers and he's able to answer those prayers. Sometimes we don't always get what we want, but we can remember Jesus is in control of the world. He's all powerful and he knows what's best for us and has an even better plan for us. And that is awesome news. So would you guys all pray with me? This is going to be a repeat after Mr. Andrew prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for your miracles that give us faith and hope and show us that you love us. Help us to trust you always and know that you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Father, we do pray that you'd restore us. So in this moment, may the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So it was just a few weeks ago when my wife Jenny was calling up a driver's training place to sign up my son Toby, who turns 15 in February, for driver's training. And in that moment, I was reminded of a piece of wisdom that my father, my earthly father, passed on to me when I was doing driver's training. You know what that one piece was? Justin, don't ever let your gas tank go below half full. Make sure you are always restoring it. So did Justin Krupski listen to his father? I will tell you, if you ever drive with me, you might notice, my kids notice this too, because now in the new technology of our cars, it actually tells us how many miles we can go before our gas tank is actually empty. And I'm one of those people that actually get into the single digits, right? And as I thought about that, I thought about where we're going today. And I was reminded of what many of us do in our lives, in our relationship with God, right? How we don't listen to the advice of our Heavenly Father. He's saying, keep it full, stay full of me. But all too often in our lives, right, we let our faith tank get so low. And then we come to God, God, please restore me. And certainly is going to restore us, and that's our prayer today. And as I think about restoring, I certainly think of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, where we ask the Lord is our shepherd, and I love it because he says he restores our souls. Quite literally, for a shepherd, he would take a sheep who couldn't stand up on its own, and that actually meant picking the sheep up so it could stand again. And so that's my hope today, and certainly that's what we see in the miracles of Jesus, as we focus in on the miracles of our Savior Jesus and all that he did, these divine interruptions that we see. So as we get into this message, my prayer again, and I've already said this a couple times, is that God's going to restore us. And what we're going to see, and Mr. Brazil actually mentioned, we're going to see that in the miracles of Jesus, he was restoring faith, he was restoring hope, and he was restoring the truth that God loved his people. And not just then, I pray that we know that it is still true for us today. And so this first truth that we see in the miracles of Jesus is that he did restore faith. He restored faith, trust, belief in God Almighty. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, as the apostles Peter is standing up and he's proclaiming the good news about Jesus, he says this, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested, accredited, approved to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." I picture these 3,000 plus men and families hearing this testimony from Peter. Did they argue with Peter? "We didn't see those miracles." No, they saw the miracles. They saw these signs that God did through Jesus to restore people's faith, to point people to Jesus, the Son of God. And in John's sermon, in John's gospel, he says this, "Now Jesus did many other signs and wonders." Jesus was just doing miracle after miracle after miracle in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these that John wrote, that Matthew wrote, that Mark wrote, that Luke wrote, right? These were written so that you may believe, that you may believe, that your faith to be restored, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. You may have life in his name. Restoring faith. John the Baptist, many of us are familiar with him. Right? There's a moment in his life, he's going through suffering, he's going through pain, he's in prison, about to get his head chopped off. Right? And so John sends his closest friends, his disciples, to Jesus and says, "Jesus, are you really the one who was to come? Or should we expect another?" You know what Jesus responded, the message to John? "Go tell John that the lame, they're walking again. That the blind, they're seeing again. That the crippled, right, they're being healed." Miracle after miracle. Restore John's faith. "Yes, I am who I said that I am." Right, there is a dad in Mark chapter 9 that came to Jesus. His son was demon-possessed. His son was sick. He was hurting. Right? Jesus was with his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration with John and James and Peter. Right? Also, Elijah and Moses show up in this amazing moment. But during that moment, this dad brings his son to Jesus' disciples and asks his disciples to heal him, and they couldn't heal him. They didn't know what the problem was. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes down from the mount. He meets this man, this dad, and the dad says, "Jesus, your disciples couldn't heal him. Please heal him." You know what Jesus said? "Do you believe? Do you believe?" And what did that young dad say? "Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief." And what did Jesus do to help him with his unbelief? To fill up his faith bucket? Right. He didn't say, "Sorry, you don't have enough. You don't have enough faith, sir. I'm not going to heal your son." No, he healed his son. He restored not just his son, but his faith. His faith, right? Restoring our faith through these divine interventions. Right? In that same text, this is where Jesus actually says this profound statement, because his disciples are saying, "Jesus, why couldn't we heal him? Why couldn't we heal him?" And you know what Jesus said? Why they couldn't heal him? "You didn't even pray. You thought you could do this divine intervention. You didn't show any faith in me. You didn't get outside of yourself. You didn't pray." And then that's the same moment where Jesus actually says this huge statement about faith and how much faith it actually takes to move a mountain, to bring heaven down, that Mount of Transfiguration down. It's the same text. What does he say? "The faith of a mustard seed. The faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain, can bring heaven, a little bit of heaven down here on earth. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is reach out." Right? And that divine intervention is there. I don't know what you know about Trinity for those of you who are online, or what we've all experienced here at Trinity, but we pray. We pray for divine intervention over and over and over again. We pray for miracles here. We do that because we're people of faith and we've heard what Jesus has said, and we don't want to be like those first disciples who didn't pray. And so we do pray, and we're going to pray in a moment. Pastor Chad's going to lead us in that prayer time. And I pray that we are more aware of how we are praying, what we are praying for miracles. miracles. A divine intervention. And I'll say this about faith. Here's how I've been working in my own life when it comes to the definition of faith based on the scriptures, and certainly based on the scriptures when it comes to miracles. Miracles. I would say this: faith is a conviction that he can. Right? Faith is a conviction that he can. Not just that he did, but he still can right now. He can show up. He can do it. He can do it. But it's not just that. Faith is not just a conviction that he can, right? It's a trust in his will. Faith is a conviction that he can with a trust in his will. Because he might not divinely interrupt the moment the way we think he wants to or the way we think he needs to, right? We trust in his will. We trust in his will when we pray for his intervention in these moments in our lives. And I love Jesus for so many reasons, but I love how he taught us to pray, and Pastor Chad again is going to lead us in these petitions that Jesus taught us, right? Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, bring heaven down here, divinely interrupt, right? We want to see this heavenly interruption in this moment. We need that bit of heaven. But what's the next petition? Just to make sure we're praying by faith. What's the next petition, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done, right? What a move, what a teaching, right? Faith is a conviction that he can with a trust in his will, right? That he would continue to restore our faith, that mustard seed of faith. Jesus, I believe, help me with my unbelief. The miracles of Jesus also restored hope, right? A future that is going to be amazing based on the promises of God. That's what hope is, right? The bright future based on promises. He restored hope, right? I think of the moment, and we heard this, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11, Jesus is with Mary and Martha. Jesus' buddy, Lazarus, his friend, has died. And Jesus shows up and he's talking to Mary and Martha. And he says, Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks her this question, right? Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And this is before Jesus rose again from the dead. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Do you believe that? And if that's true, do you believe in eternity? And what we know is that Jesus, right, raised Lazarus from the dead, and certainly without a doubt that restored their faith, but also that restored hope, because there's something even grander coming. And I love what Paul says to the church in Corinth about the resurrection of Jesus, this greatest miracle of Jesus, greater than walking on water, greater than calming the storm, greater than feeding the 5,000 with just minimal pieces of food, greater than healing other dead people, greater than healing leprosy, greater than healing blindness, greater than healing deafness, greater than healing muteness, right? The greatest miracle of all, right? Paul says this, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, right? A foretaste of what is to come. And here's what we know about the miracles of Jesus. They point us not just to a temporal healing, but to an eternal healing. Because you know what happened to all those people that Jesus healed on this side of eternity? Right? They still died. Right? They received a temporal healing, a little bit, a foretaste of what is to come. And so certainly when God divinely interrupts, when he brings these miracles, right, he is pointing to something even grander. Right? Miracles aren't just a proof that Jesus has power, right, that God is alive. They are a foretaste of what God is restoring us to. Right? Someone once asked this question, right? Were the miracles there to suspend natural order, to give a time out from what is happening, or do the miracles occur? Do they occur, right, to show us that there is a restoration coming for the natural order? Right? For those of you who know the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, Right? The tree of life, everything is perfect. Sin comes into the world. Also, at the end of Revelation, at the end of all things, this vision that God gives to John, the tree of life is there, sin is gone. Right? Creation has been restored. Restored. There is hope when we experience the finger of God Almighty, when He shows up like only He can. Right? A restored hope. A little bit of heaven. A little bit of heaven on this side of eternity to remind us of what the eternal destiny, what the plan is. When Jesus did these miracles, when these miracles happened today, not only is faith being restored, not only is hope being restored, but also love. Love. I don't know if we've witnessed this, for those of you who are familiar with the miracles of Jesus specifically, but here's a phrase that is said over and over again throughout the Gospels. I want to go ahead and read it from Matthew chapter 14. It shows up in Matthew 15 and Matthew 20 also. It says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a crowd, and he had compassion on them. Right? Fully God, fully man, Jesus is emotionally connected to his creation. When he sees us hurting, he has compassion because he loves us. He loved them. He had compassion on them. And so what did he do? He healed their sick. He healed their sick. Out of divine love, and there's no doubt about it, people knew they were loved by God when Jesus did these amazing miracles. And the greatest act of love is the forgiveness of sins, right? When you forgive somebody, perhaps it's the greatest miracle of all. Right, but hear what Jesus said. We heard it read already in the Gospels, right? We know the story. Many of us know the story, right? Jesus is having a little church service, a little small group that turns into a mega group. They're standing room only. People are pushing and crowding to get by Jesus. They want to be part of these miracles, these signs and wonders, and these amazing teachings, which you're going to get into in a couple weeks. And there's four friends of this one man who is paralyzed, right? And they want their friend to get to Jesus because they got a little bit of faith, a little mustard seed of faith. They believe that Jesus can, and they're hoping that he will. And so they cut a hole in the roof. Imagine that, right? A hole in the roof of the sanctuary. Sorry, Jeff Piak, Director of Operations. Just imagine that for a moment. There's a hole in the top of the sanctuary, and all of a sudden we see somebody getting lowered down. And they thought the greater need, right, the greater miracle was heal him. But Jesus wanted to show this man that he was loved. He wanted to remind everybody his purpose of why he came here. And so Jesus, right, says, but that you know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, because he said, right, I forgive you your sins. Your sins are forgiven. And the friends and everybody's saying, wait a minute, we wanted you to heal him. But Jesus knows the greater healing, the greater miracle, right? Your sins are forgiven. And so people are saying, who can forgive sins but God alone, right? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. And so we know Jesus is declaring himself to be the Son of God, which a sign of wonders show us. But he says, so that you know I have the authority to forgive sins, so that you know, right, I love you, get up and walk. Get up and walk. Right? Loved by God, a restored love. When I think about this great miracle, the greatest miracle of all, Easter, right, I'm reminded, right, that Easter happened to show us that what took place on the cross actually happened and counted, if you will. Right, and this is what 1 Corinthians says. If Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. But God says, so that you know I love you so much that I'm not counting your sins against you. Look what I did, for God so loved the world, he sent his only son, right? The check didn't bounce, right? Forgiveness happened, the love happened, and still loving today. We know that for certain, that we are loved by God because Jesus rose again from the dead. And he restores us, and he loves us, he forgives us. For all those times where we're given to fear and we can't even express that mustard seed of faith, where the last thing we do in the midst of a trial is go to him in prayer, he forgives us for all that fear that we've given into. For the lack of faith, he forgives us. And he forgives us for all that hopelessness that we bring into this world, right? That despair, that darkness. And he even forgives us for all those times where we haven't loved one another, where we haven't made the sacrificial move, where we haven't forgiven others the way that we have been forgiven. Right? You and I are forgiven. We are loved. And so my prayer is, yes, that God restores us. Right? Do miracles still happen today? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. So may God give us the faith to see those, the faith to pray, to unleash the power of heaven among us. And may he continue to restore hope, when we see him at work, and may we continue to be loved on, and may that love be a restoring love by God Almighty. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the words handed down to us by the saints of old and confessed by God's people throughout the world in the words of the Nicene Creed. We join together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things, visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, as the ushers bring forward the offering, we also encourage people who are watching at home to text 797979, the word Trinity. And if you haven't given your offering, it'll bring up the opportunity to do that. It also gives you the opportunity to make any kind of request for ministry that you desired. And so encourage you to also find the news there. As we give our offering of thanks to the Lord, we also turn to him with our prayers, that as we give our thanks, he also requests that we bring him our petitions, our prayers for our needs and wants, for the supplication of others. And so as we pray for the church and for all people, we'll join in the prayer of the church. As I read each petition, you're invited to respond at the end of each petition when I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, to join me in saying, hear our prayer, and then we will follow that with the Lord's Prayer. And so we pray. O Lord, we are your people, chosen by your grace to be your own possession, and granted mercy upon mercy. Hear your people who cry to you in need, and remember us according to the favor you have shown to us in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Help us, O Lord, to hold fast to your word, and bless us with faithful pastors who preach and teach your eternal gospel, that we may rejoice in doing your will. Guide those considering church work vocations and bless them as they are formed for your service. Encourage every believer, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we may not lose heart, but being of one mind and one will, may serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom and speaking your word of witness throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless our president, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Enlighten us with godly knowledge and wisdom, O Lord, and bless those who pursue science to improve our lives and the lives of those in greatest need. Bless all honorable vocations and all honest labor, and lead the unemployed to good jobs and noble work. Lord, in your mercy, guide us, O Lord, that with all our hearts, minds, and bodies, and resources, we may serve you. Give special blessing to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and to the many ways they bring the good news of your salvation and the works of your love across our nation and our world. Lord, in your mercy, show us your compassion, O Lord, and in your mercy grant healing, comfort, and peace to all those who are suffering. Deliver them from all their afflictions, from pain, sorrow, and fear. We especially pray for Ella Brandt, Debbie Cooley, Donna, Norma Hewson, Carolyn Johnston, Elmer Meitzner, Tom Reban, Kristen Russell, Kim Shepper, Ken Towns, Yvette. We pray for the family of Liz Gruppe as they stand by her side and keep her comfortable. We also pray for peace and comfort for the family of Jim Dieters as they mourn the loss of a loved one. Lord, we pray for healing and strength for all those who are affected by COVID-19. We pray also especially for those who are homebound, that they may stay healthy, keep their spirits up, and not be depressed or scared. We pray for our church family to grow together in faith and support each other through these hard times. Lord, continue to give us a spirit of unity as we work together and navigate and refocus on the ministry you've given us here in our community and to our world. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O Lord, to remember the faithful who loved and served you and who now rest from their labors. Bring us with them to that most blessed day when together we shall dwell in your presence on high forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, unite us also that we may be one in mind and one in teaching, in witness and service. Bless us as we come at your bidding to receive the body and blood of your Son at his table. Grant that we who receive in this holy communion that we may keep in holy hearts and holy lives. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we give you thanks for the many blessings you have poured out on us each day. Not only are your mercies new every morning, but you provide for all of our needs of body and soul. We especially give you thanks for being with Laura Butcher as she celebrates 102 years of life, and for being with Daniel Volkert as he celebrates his birthday. We pray for all those who recognize these marks of your kindness, that you would continue to bless them in this new year of life with a heart of thanks and opportunities to bring you praise. We also thank you, Lord, for the gift of marriage and for sustaining us who are married through your work and your will. We give you a special thanks for George and Judy Wellhausen as they celebrate 55 years, and Norm and Carolyn Malinowski as they celebrate 33 years, and for all those who continue to work together in love in this blessed union, we pray for your strength and your guidance, that you would fill them with your love and restore their love for each other each day, until finally you bring us all safely home to that great wedding feast of the Lamb, which will have no end. So grant to us all good things needful for this body and life, and that which is profitable for our salvation. Lord, protect us from all things harmful, that sustained in time of want and guarded in time of prosperity, we may endure to the day of our Lord's coming and be judged worthy of eternal life, which you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. And it is in his name that we also pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we'll join in the Lord's Supper. For those of you who are gathered here, if you have not received one of these cups yet, just raise your hand and the ushering team will bring those down the aisles and hand out to those who still need it. While we're watching online, if you want to take this time to also consider God's great love for you and restoring you through his word, through the working of his miracles in your life, the forgiveness of your sins, and the assurance of eternal life you have in Jesus Christ. And remember that this same risen Lord is also with you. So for those who are gathered here in the sanctuary, as we say the words of institution, I will pause and we'll share the peace of Christ with each other, and then I'll give you instruction to take and eat and take and drink. So let us begin. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same night also he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. So now take and eat the body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Peel back the layer for the wine. Does anyone need help with that? And take and drink the blood of Christ poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This true body and blood of our Savior, strengthen and keep you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace with joy. Amen. We join in singing our closing hymn. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Please rise for this. Hearts and minds and the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Go out with rejoicing, restored and refreshed by the loving word of Jesus.